You've crushed it. You've built real wealth. But let us ask you something. If you stepped away today, how long will it last?
For many successful families, the uncomfortable truth is this. What they have built works because they're still in the center of it. Right now, your wealth may be strong, but is it complete?
At the Kitty Sisters, we see wealth as a system built across 5 layers. When each one layer is missing, wealth doesn't fail immediately. It fractures quietly. You don't feel it day to day until scale, complexity, or time exposes it.
That's exactly why we created the Where Wealth Breaks assessment. It maps your current wealth against the 5-layer legacy cake, revealing the gap between where your wealth stands today and what it needs to endure beyond you.
Ready to find out where your wealth breaks? Take the assessment now at wherewealthbreaks.com.
Imagine knowing clearly and objectively which layers are solid, which relies too heavily on you, and which haven't been built yet. Because building wealth and keeping it require different systems.
This isn't about chasing returns. It's about strengthening the system, holding them together. You've made it. Now the question is whether your wealth is layered, governed, and structured to last.
Ready to find out where your wealth breaks? Take the assessments toward building multi-generational freedom at wherewealthbreaks.com. That is wherewealthbreaks.com.
America just crossed $39 trillion in debt, $114,000 for every man, woman, and child in this country, growing at $7.5 billion every single day. And as of this morning, the path to the Federal Reserve chairmanship just cleared. Kevin Warsh is about to inherit that number. The question everyone is asking, can he fix it? The question you should be asking is, what does his plan do to your wealth, whether it works or not?
Hey, we're Palmy and Nancy Kitty, the Kitty Sisters, and we're here to help you turn earned income into own income and build what actually lasts.
From a $2,000 bank account to nearly $500 million in real estate assets, earning our way into rooms we once never thought we belong in. Along the way, we learn success isn't just about making it, it's about making it last.
Here we share money, real estate, and investing strategies, but more importantly, we talk about the systems and decisions that create legacy, certainty, and continuity.
If you value speed, convenience, and execution certainty, and if you're building not just for yourself but for the generations after you, you're in the right place.
This is the first of the family podcast.
My name is Palmy Kitty, the other half of the Kitty Sisters. My sister Nancy and I have scaled to nearly $500 million in assets, returned $45 plus million to investors, and helped families preserve over $100 million in taxes. I've studied every major financial collapse in modern history, and what I'm about to walk you through is not a political opinion. It's a structural analysis. Because what happens inside the Federal Reserve over the next 18 months will reshape the investment environment every single one of us operates in. Here are the three things you need to understand today. First, why $39 trillion isn't just a big number, it's a trap, and it constrains every tool the new chairman has before he ever sits down. Second, what the Warsh so-called regime change actually means, and why it's the most consequential monetary policy gamble in a generation. And third, what the investors who understand this are doing right now to stay standing, whether the gamble pays off or not. Let's get into it. Point one, the debt is a trap. I want you to picture a trauma patient arriving in the emergency room. Two IVs, two separate conditions running simultaneously. Imagine septic shock in one arm, hemorrhaging in the other. Here's the problem. The drug that treats the sepsis, the one that saves them from the infection spreading, accelerates the bleeding. And the drug that stops the hemorrhaging worsens the sepsis. There is no single intervention that resolves both simultaneously. The doctors are not incompetent. The situation is structurally impossible. That is the Federal Reserve's right now. When your national debt crosses $39 trillion, when your interest payment alone exceeds $1 trillion per year, you lose the freedom to use your monetary policy tools. Think about what that means in practice. The Fed wants to tighten inflation, raise rates, but higher rates means the government pays more to service the $39 trillion in outstanding debt. Net interest as its shares of the federal budget keeps climbing, 14%, 14.5%, approaching 15% by 2028. In the first 3 months of this fiscal year alone, interest payments already surpasses what we spent on national defense. You're treating a sepsis, but the patient is bleeding out. The Fed wants to stimulate growth, cut rates, but cheaper money historically reignites inflation. And with tariffs already putting an upward pressure on prices, aggressive cut risks bringing back the exact disease we just spent 3 painful years trying to kill. You stop the bleed, the infection's back. Here's what almost no one in the financial media is saying out loud. The Fed cannot solve the debt problem. The debt problem constrains the Fed. That is not the same sentence. This matters to you not as a political statement, but as an investment operating environment. You are not building
building wealth in a neutral system. You're building inside a system that is structurally limited in its ability to respond to the next crisis. The risk-free tools that work in 2008 and 2020 gets more expensive to deploy every single year. The patient gets harder to stabilize. That changes how you think about asset selection. It changes what safe means, and it changes how you evaluate what Kevin Warsh is walking into, which is exactly what point two is about. Point two, the control burn. Rangers in the American West do something that looks insane the first time you see it. They light fires on purpose, deliberately, with a plan and with full knowledge that the control burn will destroy some trees, create smoke, and look like a disaster to anyone watching from a distance. Because dry forest accumulates fuel, decades of dead wood, brush, tinder, and if you never burn the small fires away, the inevitable fire, the one nobody controls, burns everything. All at once, nothing survives. The control burn is painful, deliberate, but is infinitely preferable to the catastrophic fire that comes from letting the fuel build forever. The Federal Reserve has been building this fuel since 2008. That's 18 years. Quantitative easing, bond buying, a balance sheet that has ballooned from under $1 trillion to $6.7 trillion, sitting at 24.6% of GDP, artificially suppressing long-term interest rates. A market trained to expect the Fed to rescue every time something looks like it might break. And Kevin Welsh is calling for exactly what it is. His word, regime change. His plan, shrink the Fed's balance sheet, sell trillions of dollars in government bonds back to the market. In forward guidance, the Fed's habit of telegraphing every move so the market never faced genuine uncertainty. Reintroduce what he calls market discipline. Let things fail when they should. He wants to light the control burn. Now, here's where it gets critical and where most analysts stop too early. The control burn is not the same thing as a cure. Warsh himself said he wants to do this in concert with the Treasury Secretary. This requires precise coordination between two of the most powerful financial institutions in the world, executed flawlessly over multiple years inside an environment of tariffs, geopolitical pressure, and a $39 trillion existing debt. What happens if the coordination breaks down? What happens if the market looks at $6.7 trillion in Fed bond sales and decide the price of U.S. government debt should be higher? Long-term rate spikes, mortgage rates rise, and the $39 trillion we're already carrying becomes more expensive to roll over. The control burn stops being controlled. The thing Warsh is trying to prevent, the catastrophic wildfire, becomes more likely, not less. The question for every serious investor isn't whether Walsh's plan is right or wrong. The question is, what does your portfolio do if he's right? And what does it do if he's wrong? Because in this environment, you cannot afford a portfolio that only survives one scenario. Tell me in the comment right now, honestly, if Walsh's balance sheet reduction sends long-term rates higher for the next 2 years, what's the weakest link in your portfolio? Drop it in the comment. So what does it mean strategically? The environment ahead is not the environment of the last decade where you could assume the Fed would intervene, rate would recover, and paper asset would bounce. In a regime change environment, and the word regime, again, is his, not mine, the rules of the game change. The investors who are positioned to stay stable through entire outcome burns succeeding or burn accelerating are building a different foundation than everyone else, which is exactly what point three is. Point three, the ballast stone. Tall ships in rough waters don't eliminate waves. The Atlantic Ocean doesn't care about your cargo. The storm doesn't negotiate. What skills captains discovered centuries ago is that the stability in rough waters doesn't come from making the water calmer, which is impossible to do. It comes from lowering your center of gravity. They fill the lowest part of the hull with massive stones, ballast, dense, heavy, close to the keel. Here's what's remarkable at this. The ballast didn't make the ship faster. It didn't eliminate the stone. It didn't even make the voyage more comfortable, but it made capsizing almost impossible. The waves still rocks the ship. The spray still hits the deck, but the ship stays upright. In a monetary environment constrained by $39 trillion in debt, where the new Fed chairman is executing a historic high-stakes policy experiment, the investor's first question can no longer be, how do I maximize my return? The first question has to be, how do I lower my center of gravity? Paper assets sit high in the hull. Stocks, bonds, speculative vehicles, they are exquisitely sensitive to monetary policy shifts. They respond the instant rate moves, the moment forward guidance changes, and a second, a regime change signals uncertainty. Hard assets that produce income, assets that most people have regardless of what the Fed does, sits low. Let me give you the real number on this. Net interest rate on U.S. debt exceeds defense spending in the first 3 months of this fiscal year alone. Defense, the largest single military budget, exceeded by interest payment. When that's your operating environment, when the government is paying more to service the debt than to fund its military, the monetary conversation stops being theoretical. It is the water your ship is selling through. What we have seen in our portfolio across nearly $500 million in assets is that multifamily real estate functions as a ballast precisely because of its demand structure. People must have shelter. That demand doesn't correlate with the Fed funds rate. It doesn't disappear when Walsh sells bonds or cancels his press conference. It doesn't care about the regime change. And here's the structural advantage almost nobody talks about in this specific environment. Rents adjust with inflation, which means in the scenario where Walsh control burns succeed, inflation contained, rates gradually declining, you capture the yield, cash flow, distribution, the architecture working as designed. And in the scenario where the burn gets away, inflation persists or resurges, rates stay elevated longer, your rent adjusts upward. The income stream inflates with the environment. You don't need to call the outcome. You need to be positioned to stay upright in both. That is not luck. That is architecture. I want to say something directly. The people who will be hurt most by what happens in the next 18 months are not the people with the smallest portfolio. They are the people with the highest earned income and the least owned income. The doctors, the lawyers, the executives, the people who spent decades optimizing their career and have their wealth sitting in a 401k, a brokerage account, and a savings balance denominated in the very currency being experimented on. I have sat across from those people and I've had those conversations. And what stays with me is this. They are not financially unsophisticated. They are architecturally exposed. They built their income. They didn't build the infrastructure their income flows through. And when their environment changes, when the ballast isn't there, the waves don't ask how hard you worked. The $39 trillion isn't going away under Kevin Walsh. It wasn't going away under Jerome Powell. It will not go away under whoever comes after either of them. What changes is the experiment being run on top of it. Your job, our job, is not to predict the experiment. It is to build a portfolio that survives the range of outcomes. Here's what I know to be true. At $39 trillion and climbing, at $1 trillion in annual interest that now exceeds the entire defense budget, every tool the Fed has is constrained before Kevin Walsh ever picks up the gavel, ever picks up his badge. His controlled burn strategy is the most honest bet available, but it's still a bet. And the ballast, the own income, the hard assets, the infrastructure people must use regardless of what the exo building decides, that is the only part of your portfolio that doesn't need the experiment to go right. If you want to understand exactly where your wealth architecture is exposed right now, we've built something for you. It's called the Where Wealth Breaks Assessment. It's completely free and it takes less than 3 minutes. It shows you precisely which layer of your financial structure is most vulnerable in this environment before the environment makes that decision for you. Link is below. One last thing. The ship that capsizes in the storm isn't always the smallest ship. Sometimes it's the tallest one. Build low, stay upright. We'll see you in the next one.
Thanks for listening to the First of the Valley podcast. We hope today's conversation left you feeling inspired and maybe even equipped with one idea you can take with you as you turn earned income into own income and build something that actually lasts.
If today's conversation resonates, here's how you can support the show and help it reach more families, investors, and entrepreneurs who are creating a lasting legacy. Hit follow and share this episode with someone who's thinking beyond themselves and into generations after them.
And if you're feeling generous, leave a review. Means more than you know. Those few words help the right listeners find these conversations right when they need it most. By doing this, you're helping families build legacy, certainty, and continuity.
For show notes, links, and resources from today's episode, head to thekittysisters.com.